Good morning. I seem to have a little angel up giving me signals above, excuse me. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you all have chosen to worship with us today. Please remember to sign the registry and pass it down and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have lots going on. First of all, today is our celebration of feast. We'll celebrate communion, our collections for the food pantry, and have our covered dish luncheon afterwards. And all are invited to stay for the meal. We have a birthday boy this week. If you'll help me, Doug's birthday this week. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Doug. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. This Tuesday will be our Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday services. The pancake supper will begin at 5:30, and the Ash Wednesday services will follow at 6:30. The committee planning the summer children's musical will meet at Wednesday at 4:30. The women's Bible study group will also meet Wednesday at 6 p.m. The worship committee will meet with Pastor Jane next Sunday immediately following worship services to finalize plans for Lent and Easter. Next Saturday, March 12th, is the kickoff for Build It With Junk. This is an effort. It says, Build It With Junk. Clean up your yard and help the Soldiers Memorial effort. We want your scrap metal, junk cars, aluminum, steel and iron, copper and brass. And that's Saturday, March 2nd. You can bring your junk to the city warehouse or the county barn at 1000 Southeast MLK Boulevard. So that's next Sunday. And then finally, we have an announcement from Alan. Couldn't be here today, but he sends this message. I would like to thank the FPC youth who braved the nasty weather Saturday morning, my eyes seem to be going as I stand here, who braved the nasty weather Saturday morning to represent our church as volunteers in support of the Family Crisis Center. They helped with the pedal through the Pines bicycle ride by working at the rest stops for at St. Martin's Church and at Serban. This is an important annual fundraiser for the center, and the volunteer support is one of the factors that makes the ride so popular year after year. And he wants to thank specifically Hayden Bell, Hunter Bell, Mason Morris, DJ Lancaster, Grayson Morris, Hoyt Johnson, I think of him as youthful in energy and enthusiasm, and Joe Crank. So thank you, youth of the church. Well done.
Thank you.
At this time, let us stand, let us worship the Lord. As God called to Moses from the mountain,
we are called to be God's people.
As Jesus called the disciples to climb with him to the peak of another mountain,
we are called to follow wherever he leads.
As the disciples stood in awe at the sound of God's voice,
we are called to worship and wonder and praise.
Let us pray. Holy One, light of light, God of all creation, long ago you showed yourself to the disciples in Jesus' transfiguration, his face glowing like a field of daffodils on a bright spring morning. Shine in us, around us, and through us, that the world may see your glory in the faces of your people, faces transfigured in the light of your love. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 320. In the green hymnal, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Though we want to walk with Moses and see God's holy radiance,
we hide in the midst of our own desires, unable.
While we want a world of justice and peace,
we walk in clouds of selfishness, unable to share God's loving kindness.
Though we want to follow Jesus up the mountain,
we cower in fear, unable to bear the light of God.
In the blazing light of God's grace, Jesus touches us to say, "Get up and do not be afraid." In the name of Christ, all is forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Peace of Christ with one another. May the light of Christ shine in you always.
And also in you.
As we prepare to hear our scripture readings this morning, please join me in a prayer for illumination. Light of light, true God of true God, as you spoke from the pillar of cloud to Moses and the people, so you spoke from the bright cloud to Jesus and his disciples. May your word live through us today, that our world of sorrow may be transfigured into joy. Amen. A reading from the epistles this morning is from the second book of Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. For we did not follow cleverly devised mist when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on that holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to the lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is number 491, Open Our Eyes.
This is the way it's going to be, guys. Anybody wants to get sick, anybody wants to go to the hospital, has to wait till somebody comes back, okay? Among those that we already have on the list, I ask that you remember Nancy and Bob Martin as they are traveling to an aunt's funeral in Kansas, which will be tomorrow. And remember that Nancy's mother is in her last stages of her life as well. So the family is gathering in Kansas for this service, knowing that there's another one coming soon. So keep them in your hearts and prayers as well. And I'm sure there's other things that we probably don't even know about yet, but the blessed thing about this congregation is that we care about our people and that people are being cared for in the times when they need it. And it is a joy to be a part of that. Our gospel lesson this morning jumps now from the Sermon on the Mount to another mountain, where there is Jesus and the three disciples who will become the leaders of those people after Jesus leaves. And I invite you to listen for the word from God that we hear this morning from Matthew chapter 17, reading verses 1 through 9. And it begins in 6 days later. 6 days later was right after Peter had made that great confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," and then had turned right around after Jesus had blessed him for that insight that had been given to him. Peter turns around and goes, "Oh, no, you don't want to do that, Jesus," when he talks about going to the cross. And Jesus has said to him then, "Get behind me, Satan." And 6 days after this happens, a week later, Jesus takes Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There in their presence, Jesus was transfigured. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as dazzling as light. And listen. The word here is look or listen. Pay attention to what's about to happen. Because Moses and Elijah appeared to them. And Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus. And then, right in the middle of this conversation, Peter spoke to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," he said, "it is wonderful for us to be here. If you want me to, I will make three shelters here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And he was still speaking when, listen, a bright cloud covered them with shadow. And listen, from the cloud there came a voice which said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. He enjoys my favor. Hear him." And when they heard this, the disciples fell on their faces, overcome with fear. But Jesus came up and touched them, saying, "Stand up. Do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus gave them this order: "Tell no one about this vision until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. The more I think about this story, the more I wonder, was it really necessary to tell Peter, James, and John not to tell the others about their experience on the mountain when Jesus was transfigured? I mean, really, would anyone have believed them if they had claimed to see Moses and Elijah, to have heard them talking to Jesus? You see, when we read the gospel narratives, we tend to put the disciples in a much more exalted position than they actually were, particularly at the time the events occurred. Because when we pay attention to these stories, we notice one very important point, and it's one that the writers return to frequently. The disciples were average, ordinary people. Fishermen, accountants, revenue agents, led by a carpenter. They were people who were trying to serve God in their lives, but of no special dispensation. They struggled to make sense of what Jesus said and often failed, which, if you think about it, remember, often earned them the nickname Little Faith Ones. It seems like that was Jesus' favorite name for them when he talked to them together. Oh, little faith ones. In other words, they were people like you and me. Nothing special. Something very special. But would you come running to the church and announce that you had just seen one of those disciples? That you had heard them talking? Well, I doubt it. And particularly most Presbyterians are just not really comfortable talking about spiritual experiences. Kind of whisper them to somebody else. Wait until the time is right and say, well, you know, that happened to me this way. But it's not something we just get up and say, hey, by the way, guess what happened to me last week? I need to testify. We don't do that. And I kind of suspect that those first disciples were the same way. I mean, Peter, James, and John are going to go back and tell the others, go, oh, yes, we were up there. We saw Moses and we saw Elijah. Not. But Jesus first invites Peter and James and John into this experience and then tells them don't talk about it for a while. So you got to wonder, why did Jesus even bother to ask them along? I mean, all Peter did was interrupt. Why would Jesus have bothered? Wouldn't it have been better if he'd just gone out by himself and left the disciples there? This is actually an odd story for Matthew to even tell. It's not really Matthew's style. Matthew was a very practical guy, and he mostly tells stories about Jesus healing and teaching, and it's very straightforward and pretty easy to understand. And this is the sort of story you would expect maybe in John, who gets mystical on us. While we tend to make Jesus the focal point of all the stories in the gospel, we need to remember that the others in those stories have something to teach us as well. They're there for a reason. Any of you who have ever done any kind of writing discover that each one of the characters that populates a story is there for a reason. You don't just kind of pull people out and put them in as extras, particularly if you're writing. That they've got something to do with the story. Now, we know that this story is one of those that clearly shows Jesus' divine nature. Like at his baptism, this voice of God is heard. This is my beloved. Listen to him. Christ in his glory. Not Jesus the carpenter, but Christ is revealed to human flesh. There is this glimpse of who Jesus is. Now, this Sunday actually marks a major transition in the church year. This ends the season of Epiphany, which began after Christmastide, that time of revealing of who Jesus was. And now this time is closing, this time of the revelation of Emmanuel, of God with us. And it prepares us for the season of Lent, which begins on Wednesday. Lent being more of a time because we are examining our lives and looking at our sinfulness. Sometimes Christ seems hidden from us. As we confront our human struggles for supremacy, our desire to shape God to our own notions of who God should be, of who God should love. And so this Sunday prepares us by giving us a picture that we can hold on to, by giving us this glowing glimpse of God's glory revealed in Jesus Christ. As I suspect it did for Peter and James and John, because Jesus is talking about the cross, and they go up onto a mountain, and Jesus becomes Jesus, the Christ. And Jesus knows that when he goes back down the mountain, the journey to the cross is beginning. And the disciples will not be able to see clearly during that time. But these three of them will have that image. As I mentioned, Peter had just made that great confession, responding to Jesus' question, remember, of who they thought he really was. Peter didn't just go right up and said, "Oh, by the way, I've got it figured out. I think you're God." They were having this conversation. Remember, it started out, "Who do other people say I am? But what do you think?" And the fact that Jesus asked him tells us a lot about the story. Who do you think I am? Because I'm going to ask you to do some stuff that's going to be tough. In the glow of that moment when Peter had first said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God," and God, Jesus has said, "Blessed are you, Simon, because God has revealed this to you." And somehow in that glow, Peter had decided that it was up to him, because he had this revelation, to decide how Jesus should act. And so when Jesus started talking about the cross, Peter thought, "Well, I know better than that. That won't work at all." "Oh, no, no," Peter said. "That's not a good plan. It absolutely won't work. I mean, after all." And Jesus had had to straighten Peter out, saying, "It is the plan. And if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to follow me. Not lead me." So what might Peter be thinking when he's standing on this mountain a week later and Jesus starts to shine with an intense light? And when he sees those two others talking to Jesus and somehow realizes, OMG, it's Moses! It's Elijah. The two greatest men in Jewish history. Men who had talked to God. Men to whom God had actually spoken. Men every Jewish boy had heard about all their lives. And there they were. No wonder Peter and James and John were afraid. And it's Mark's account that explains that that is why Peter interrupted Jesus and Moses and Elijah and was talking so fast that he wasn't even making sense. His words were falling over one another, and he's right in the middle of it. He had to do something. Mark says he started talking because he was afraid. It was a big deal. Peter wanted to set up a tent for each one of them, reminiscent of the tabernacle in the wilderness that signified God's presence among the people. And before we begin to judge Peter too harshly, what a jerk. Before we get to that point, let's think about what some people might do today under similar circumstances. This is where my mind went off. I had so much fun had to rein myself back in, but can't you see it? Glory Land! Now, you know, if it works for Billy Graham, it can work for this. You could buy special Bibles autographed by the ones who were there. There could be rides and glow-in-the-dark images and stands selling bottomless baskets of loaves and fishes. Well, what was the point of this experience? What was the point? It seems to me that at least one important thing is that it was intended to give the disciples something to hold on to. Something to remember when everything they had hoped for seemed to collapse around them as Jesus is arrested and tried and condemned and crucified. That moment on the mountain would be there when they watched the same people who welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem as a hero demanded his life just a few short days later. And I suspect that moment was there for Peter after he ran from the courtyard where he had sworn he was not one of Jesus' followers. And then had looked up into Jesus' eyes as his Lord walked past him in chains. It would be there for him, even long years later, long after Jesus had returned to the Father, because Peter writes in his epistle, "We're not making this stuff up. We saw it with our own eyes. We were eyewitnesses. And there were three of us. Not just one making something up." Now, few, if any of us, will see anything like this with our own eyes. But we have the story from eyewitnesses. And we need to hear it too. We need to hear that God calls all of us up to the mountain and reveals God's self to us in ways that will be important to us. We need to know when to just shut up and listen. Not my best quality. We need to know that. When is it time to shut up and listen? Not for a break in the conversation where we can jump in, but simply listen. To realize that sometimes we learn best by allowing ourselves to experience something and not to try to take control of it. We need to know that we can't stay on the mountain, because there's work, hard work, difficult work to do. We need to know that we can't stay safe and secure, but that we have to go in God's strength and God's power to confront the evil that continues to threaten humanity. This morning, as we do every first Sunday, we'll come to this table, set before us as a sign of God's presence among us. And at this table, a transformation occurs as well. Bread from ordinary wheat, juice from ordinary grapes, becomes both promise and reminder. This is my body, broken for you. My blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for your reconciliation with God. Do this And remember, we do not follow cunningly devised fables. We do not follow clever stories. We follow, beloved of God, the risen Christ. And we too will behold his glory. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and say what we believe using the words from the ecumenical version of the Nicene Creed found on page 15 of the blue hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and sitting on the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
When we try to serve both God and money, we only create burdens of worry and stress. Let us release ourselves from our bondage by sharing and giving generously, remembering that all we have and all we are is a gift and a trust from God. Let us return to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you. us pray. We worship you, magnificent God, with sincere reverence, knowing that no gift is worthy of you, but you graciously receive us and what we bring for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, somewhere in the middle of the sermon, I decided, as we are a smaller group this morning, we are going to receive communion by coming forward. So, these wonderful elders are so flexible, and it's going to be something a little bit different. But I think every once in a while, when we do things a little differently, it helps us see it in a different way. So, we will receive communion this morning by coming to the table. There will be an elder right here for either side holding bread, and then the next elder will be holding the cup, and take it and then return to your seats. Because this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Scripture tells us that they will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. With thanksgiving, let us offer God our grateful praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, Creator and Ruler of the universe. In your wisdom you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way, and then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Send us out in the power of the Spirit to live for others as Christ lived for us, announcing his death for the sins of the world and telling his resurrection to all people and nations. By your Spirit, draw us together into one body and join us to Christ the Lord, that we may remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, forever and ever. Amen. And now with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, opened blind eyes, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaim the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate Christ dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a holy and living sacrifice dedicated to your service. Give you thanks that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ministering to you in his name, I give you this bread. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." And ministering to you in his name, I also give you this cup. The table is set. All is ready. Come, for you are welcome. Let us pray. Loving God, you graciously feed us who have received these holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. May we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises tell of your glory and truth. We who have seen the greatness of your love see you face to face in your kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand now for our closing hymn, hymn number 344, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.